The Symbolic Code. Volume 13, Numbers 1, November, December 1957. World Conditions When God's People Delivered, Page 3. 1991 Edition. Copyright 1957, 1991. All rights reserved. Purpose. This publication is dedicated to the mission of conveying to Davidian Present Truth believers edifying news and articles of time-lie significance. This comforter freely gives its time to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, and neither collects fees nor charges for its service. Printed in the United States of America. Page 3. World Conditions When God's People Delivery D. This study was given by V.T. Hautef April 3, 1943 and June 15, 1945. Our study for this afternoon is based on texts that are somewhat scattered throughout the Bible. It is in reality a review of the studies we have had the last several weeks, or you might say that it is the conclusion of them. You remember that our study of the 11th chapter of Daniel and Isaiah chapters 7 and 8 and onward brought to view a war and the deliverance of God's people in a time of great distress. That is a point that I am to emphasize this afternoon. We will read first, Zechariah 1:18, 19, "Then lifted I up mine eyes, and saw, and behold four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. The prophet saw four horns, and the angel that talked with him made him to understand that these horns were symbolical of the Gentile nations which had scattered Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and Israel, the ten-tribe kingdom, and also Jerusalem, the capital city of the two-tribe kingdom. In other words, in the symbol of the four horns, Zechariah saw those Gentile nations which scattered God's people and destroyed their kingdom. Page 4. Zechariah 1:20, 21, "And the Lord shewed me four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Genesis tiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it." The prophet first saw four horns which perfectly symbolized those Gentile nations which scattered God's people. Four horns are used to push and scatter. Afterwards, though, he saw four carpenters, thus lending the impression that they have come to build, for that is the business of carpenters. When the prophet saw the carpenters, he wanted to know the purpose of their presence. In his answer, the angel first told him that these carpenters are none other than the four horns, Gentile nations, which had scattered Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And these same horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem have now returned as carpenters to cast out the Gentiles and thus free God's people. It therefore becomes obvious that the four horns which Zechariah first saw point back to the time when Israel and Judah were scattered, and the symbolism of the four carpenters must point forward to a time years later when God is to restore and rebuild the kingdom. Briefly, then, the symbolism of the horns looks back to the destruction of the kingdom, whereas the other, the carpenters, looks forward to the repairing of it. The question we ought next to consider is whether the fulfillment of the work of the carpenters took place in the time when the Jews returned from Babylon after. Page 5. Their 70 years captivity, or whether it refers to some other time. For you remember that the Jews were scattered, and their land was taken, and they went into captivity under Babylon for the 70 years of Jeremiah's prophecy, after which they returned and the city was rebuilt. Zechariah says there were four horns, which would include all the nations that had a part in scattering God's people. And, moreover, if this prediction met its fulfillment in Nehemiah and Haggai's time, all the Gentiles should have been driven out forever. But they were not. Besides, the horns were those nations that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, and now they have returned to free them and repair the kingdom. And in chapter 2 of Zechariah's prophecy, God declared that not only would his people's kingdom be restored, but also that many nations would join themselves to the Lord. Since both Israel and Judah did not return, and since other nations did not join themselves to the Lord and his people when the Jews returned from Babylon, we cannot say that this prophecy met its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from Babylon. And since this prophecy has never before been fulfilled, it must take place at some future time. Through it all, we see in Zechariah's prophecy a prediction that one day Gentile nations would be engaged in rebuilding in Palestine the Israelitish kingdom that was once destroyed. We see also that there is to be a world war in which Gentiles outside of Palestine and the Gentiles within will be involved. In that war, God's people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem, are to be delivered. Page 6. And made free, and the kingdom will be rebuilt. That is as plain as anything I have ever seen. In Luke 2:1-24 we find these words, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." It is at the time Zechariah's prophecy is fulfilled when the four carpenters drive out the Genesis tiles that Jerusalem shall no more be trodden by the Gentiles, for their time to occupy the Holy Land shall be brought to its end. Then the Jews are to return and possess the land. Isaiah, Daniel, and Nahum also bear prophetic testimony to the fact that there is to be war and trouble and deliverance of God's people at the time his kingdom is restored on earth. Let us now consider Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah, chapters 20 through 30, is one long account, or book, if you please, containing both history and prophecy. It deals with the wickedness of the Jews, and how God would deal with them if they did not repent. And the Lord tried every possible way to lead them to repentance, but they would not respond. In the 26th chapter is an account of a conference they held to determine what to do with Jeremiah, the Lord's prophet. Some wanted him killed, but others objected to it and his life was preserved. One of the most important facts to be observed in these chapters, however, is that the Lord declared that the punishment he was to mete out to his people, the Jews, would at some time be given to the kingdoms of the Gentiles also. We shall now read. Page 7. Jeremiah 31, 2, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." The Lord commands the prophet to write in a book all the words that he had spoken in the preceding chapters. Verse 3, 4, "Lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it." All that God had said about the destruction of Israel and Judah was to be carefully written in a book, because at some time he is to deliver them both, and he did not want that fact to be forgotten. I am positive upon Bible authority that the kingdom restored is not to be made up in heaven above. It is to be made up in the very land where God's people lived until they were driven out because of their sins. Yes, the Bible teaches that all the 12 tribes will someday return and possess that land, the land that he gave to their fathers. After the millennium, God's people will possess not only Palestine, but they will possess the whole earth. They must first, however, return from among the Gentiles and possess the land of their fathers, in fulfillment of the prophecy we are now studying. Necessarily, then, It must take place before the millennium, before God's people go to heaven. Verses 4 through 6, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus, page 8, saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child? Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? We heard a noise of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. We do not have to ask whether a man travails with child, for we know that he does not. What, then, is the reason for suggesting the question? It indicates that something is to happen that never happened before. It will be something as strange as if a man were to travail with child. A time of great and unusual trouble and fear is to overtake the people. It is to bring great distress and anxiety upon them. Jeremiah 37. Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. Though it is designated the time of Jacob's trouble, yet there is no trouble like it in respect that none is so great. In this prophecy God is revealing that before God's people return to their father's land there shall be a time of trouble that will turn all faces pale. It will be a time of trembling, of fear, and of trouble such as never was. Trouble is coming. It is not going to be a small trouble. Why is it called Jacob's time of trouble? Jacob met his trouble while he was returning to the promised land. Now Jacob is to return again to the promised land with all his household, and again he is to meet with great trouble. That is why it is called the time of. Page 9. Jacob's trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have hardship now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now comprehend or even imagine how great the trouble will be. Alas! For that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. The trouble actually is what saves him. Therefore the time of trouble is coming for the good of the latter-day Jacobites. It is coming to deliver them. Through this most difficult time, it is the man who has the greatest faith in God that will fear the least. The more faith one has then the greater will be his deliverance. We have learned that in that great time of trouble, those represented by Jacob will be delivered. Daniel calls it a time of trouble such as never was, and he also foretells that Michael will stand up and deliver everyone whose name is written in the book. Why did both prophets write about it? Jeremiah perhaps deals more directly with the deliverance of the people and makes plain the time God is to accomplish the deliverance. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. To break one's yoke and bonds means to make one free. It is from the Assyrian yoke that Jacob is going to be made free. Verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now we will read the last part of verse 8 again. Page 10. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. The reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there. In the religious realm, strangers serve themselves rather than the Lord and their king. But in the kingdom all will serve the Lord their God and David their king. If I am a minister of the gospel for what I can get out of it, then I am serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of God's people, then I am serving God. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die, if necessary, for the cause of Christ? There shall be no more strangers among Jacob that will serve themselves, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. There are two principles brought to light in this statement. One is religious and the other is civil. The religious one is none other than the Lord their God. And the civil one is David their king. If he is to raise David to them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of government as they had in David's time. Jeremiah 30:10 Therefore fear thou not, Zero my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, Zero Israel, for, lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Jacob should not fear, because he shall be saved out of his trouble. God is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearfully troublous time, they would not. Page 11. Need to be told not to fear nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly, then, the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Verses 11 through 13, For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, Thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grave aus. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, thou hast no healing medicines. God's people are to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in measure. The incurable bruise and grievous wound is the kingdom lost. Though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Just before God's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. But a miracle is to take place. Then all will know that God alone wrought their deliverance. Verses 14, 15, All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine. Iniquity, because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. God's people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sins. Page 12. Jeremiah 30:16 Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. And all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is to begin to be fulfilled when the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. Verse 17, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. The adversaries will make sport of Zion because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have no following or friends, no one to plead their cause. Verse 18, Thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. The city shall be rebuilt and the palace shall remain. Verse 19, And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Verse 20, Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves. Page 13. And their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me, for who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me? Saith the Lord. The nobles shall not be of the Gentiles, for they shall have their own government. Verses 22 through 24. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. To find out what the whirlwind is, let us turn to Jeremiah 25:15 through 18. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and made all the nations to drink, unto whom the Lord had sent me, to wit, Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, an hissing, and a curse. As it is this day, it made Judah a curse. Jerusalem was first among the nations to take this curse. Verse 19. Pharaoh king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Egypt was next. Verses 20 through 29. And all the mingled people, and all. Page 14. The kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Asdod, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth, and the king of Sheshach shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For, lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord here declares that he commenced his punishment with his own people, and he is not going to excuse other people from punishment. All the nations to whom he sent it were to drink of the curse, and what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do to the nations, because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Page 15. Jeremiah 25:30, 31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations, he will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. The wicked will be destroyed. Verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for God will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It means war. Verse 33, And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gath-eared, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. This verse is not describing the conditions that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Lord when He comes in the clouds. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind of verse 32. It is from war. Why should the Lord first bring this on Judah and Jerusalem and then to the nations? Because they had the greatest light and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Therefore, when this war starts in the time of the deliverance of God's people, the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please turn. Page 16. Now to, Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. This whirlwind is warfare which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is to start in the latter end of the time God's people are scattered among the Gentiles, just before they are delivered. Jeremiah 31:1-2, At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, the Gentile world, showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nations. Those that were left will be restored to their own land. It is in the time when the true ones in Israel are left and find grace with God. Verses 3, 4, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, Zero Virgin of Israel, thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Verses 5, 6, Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria, the planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day, that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry. Page 17. Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. Judah is in Zion. Ephraim refers to the kingdom of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore the day is coming, that Ephraim will go to Judah in Zion to the Lord, God. Verse 7, For thus saith the Lord, Sing with gladness, for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, Zero Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. There are people yet to be saved. Verse 8, Behold, I will bring them from the north, country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Verses 9, 10, They shall come with weeping, and, with supplications will I lead them, I will cause them, to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him, and keep him, as a shepherd doth his flock. An announcement is to be made to the nations in through, forming them of the good things the Lord will do for, Israel. Verses 11, 12. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing. Page 18. In the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. And they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn to Isaiah 30 and read another prophet's prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. Isaiah's chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah and Israel, and sets forth God's intention to destroy their kingdoms. Let us now read, Isaiah 30:18, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment, bless are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses the Lord sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way which will lead to loss and shame. But in this verse he declares that he will wait for a time in mercy for the true ones among them, those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted. And a special blessing is in store for those who do wait for him. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. Verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, yet shall not. Page 19. Thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of restoration their teachers would be seen of the people. Verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. When the horse comes to a fork in the road, he wonders which road you want him to take. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the reins by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So with God's people. The still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. Verses 22 through 24, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be prosperity. Verses 25, 26, and there shall be upon every high mountain, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall. Page 20. Be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. The day when the Lord binds the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound is in the day of restoration. It is the day the kingdom is returned to God's people. At that time the moon and the sun will shine many times brighter. This of course is symbolical language, the sun signifying Bible truth. If the sun is to shine 7 times brighter it would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter. Since it is even now growing brighter and brighter, we see in it another evidence that the time this prophecy is to meet its fulfillment is almost here. Isaiah 30:27, behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy, his lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. The sun shines seven times brighter in the day that the name of the Lord cometh. This is speaking of the day of the Lord. And according to Malachi, the Lord was to send the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord should come. Verse 28, and his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity, and there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. He shall come to sift the nations with vanity, for he knows that vanity appeals to them. Through it they will be led where God wants all to go who follow after vanity. They will earn their ways through specially. Page 21. Designed vanity which God shall send them, because they follow vain things. Verse 29. Ye shall have a song, as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. That is the way you are going to feel if you follow the Lord in truth. Verses 30, 31. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall shew the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering, and tempest, and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. The Assyrian will be beaten down in the promised land through the voice of the Lord. You do not know now what that voice will say, but when it comes you will know it. And whereas you do not need to know it now, you will have to know it then. If you look for it, you will recognize it without a doubt. Verse 32, and in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shacking will he fight with it. Speaking of this event, Nahum said the fir trees shall be terribly shaken, and the trees will fall. What is happening in the shaking that has already commenced in today's world? Some great men have fallen, and it is likely that the reason the woman Babylon will be put to rule the world will be due to the trees, rulers. Page 22. Having fallen in the shaking that is now only commencing. The next chapter of Isaiah, like the preceding chapter, starts with the subject of the fall of Judah, and it also brings in a promise of restoration. We are told that the reason Judah fell was that they trusted in Egypt rather than obey God. Let us continue by reading Isaiah 3:1-4. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion, and for the hill thereof. The Lord is not going to be afraid. He is going to come down to fight for Mount Zion, the kingdom, through to restore it. How do we know it is the kingdom? Please turn with me to Isaiah 1:27-3:1. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. That is what happened anciently to Israel and Judah. But what is to happen in the end? Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Page 23. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it. The hill of the Lord then is the kingdom restored. Let us continue with Isaiah 31:5, 6, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also he will deliver it. And passing over he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. God is calling for reformation in a people other than the children of Israel who have deeply revolted against him. Verses 7, 8, For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver, and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man. And the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. Then through when this idolatry is cast away by every man through the Assyrian will fall by the sword. In the time when God pleads for his people to return to him, and they do it, then the Assyrian will fall. Not before that. It was because of their idolatry that they lost the land, and God is not going to bring his people back to their land with their idolatry. Therefore we and all God's people must not delay putting away our idols. We had better cast them out and be ready on time to go to the place where it will be so much better than it is in the present world. For there none will be tired or sick or Page 24. Lonely or afraid. Isaiah 31:8 Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man. And the sword, not of a mean man, shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. The Assyrian will fall by a sword which God himself shall send. Assyria will not fall by a mean man. His fall will come under circumstances that will clearly show that God caused it to happen. When ancient Israel fell, it was God who brought it about. It was God who was responsible for it. So it will be also with Assyria unless she too turns to God. Moreover, it is a vain thing for them to look to some other nation for help. None can stay God's punishment. Only God can help at such a time. Verse 9, And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. At the time God's purifying fire is in Zion and his purifying furnace is in Jerusalem, the Assyrian shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign. From this we can see that Nineveh will not lose out completely when she loses in Palestine. She is to lose out in Palestine first and then flee to her stronghold. This has reference to the time when the kingdom is set up before the scarlet-colored beast comes, before the woman rules the beast. Indeed, this prophecy is talking about Assyria, not Babylon. It shows that Assyria will lose out in the promised land before she loses her stronghold. The kingdom, then, is Page 25. To be established before the complete fall of Assyria takes place. The kingdom is going to be established, moreover, in Zion and Jerusalem, not in Washington or Mount Carmel. And many peoples and nations shall flow unto it. It will happen just as soon as every man casts away his idols. It is useless to expect it before. As soon as that happens, Assyria will fall in the land. The coming of the kingdom then is not waiting for anyone but God's own people. Let us return to Jeremiah and read a few more verses from the chapter we were studying earlier. Jeremiah 31:13 Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. Both old and young will rejoice together. Verse 14, And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. All will be satisfied. Verses 15, 16, Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not. Thus saith the Lord. Refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. This includes all God's people, living and dead. Verses 17, 18, and there is hope in thine end, saith. Page 26. The Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. How different is Ephraim at the time of his deliverance compared with what he was like when he was taken captive. Once he was like a wild bullock. But now he is tame. We have read a number of scriptures here today. Now let us very briefly summarize what we learned from it. We learned, 1, what the time of Jacob's trouble is. 2, the kingdom will be set up in a time of war. 3, the whirlwind and sword, war, is the evil, the curse that is to be sent to all the nations to whom the Lord will send it. 4, the evil, war, is to go from nation to nation and is not to be of short duration. 5, God's people will be delivered in a time of great trouble. 6, they must cast away all idolatry as a prerequisite to being delivered. 7, the Gentiles will have their trouble when they are called out of Babylon. Today's study dealt mainly with Jacob's own trouble and about his being delivered from the Assyrian yoke. The great and dreadful day of the Lord is fast coming. Let us each be ready for it on time lest we lose out altogether. The Symbolic Code, Volume 13, Numbers 3, 4. January, February 1958, The Latter Day Confederacy, Page 3. 1991. Copyright 1958, 1991. All rights reserved. Purpose. This publication is dedicated to the mission of conveying to Davidian present truth believers edifying news and articles of time-lie significance. This comforter freely gives its time to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation, and neither collects fees nor charges for its service. Printed in the United States of America. Page 3. The Latter-day Confederacy. This study was given by V.T. Hautef September 30, 1939 and June 22, 1940. Through the prophecy of Isaiah 7 and 8 we plainly see that God's people are approaching a time that will demand of them great faith to believe implicitly in God's word only. Since the experiences which are recorded in the Bible were written for ensamples or object lessons for God's people today, 1 Corinthians 10:11. Let us read a few verses from Isaiah 7 and then Isaiah 8, and glean the lesson that may be hidden there for us. Isaiah 7:1, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin the king of Syria, and Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. This verse, in conjunction with the verses which follow it, reveal that God favored Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, even though at the same time Ephraim, the ten-tribe kingdom, were also his people. The reason he favored Judah in this instance was that their brethren, Ephraim, had joined heathen forces to fight against them. Therefore God could not bless Ephraim's endeavor. Through this experience we should gain the lesson that as Christians God will not bless the endeavors of any of his people when they join heathen forces in. Page 4. Order to gain strength in their effort to overcome their brethren in Christ who for some reason they wish to have put out of their way. Such an alliance cannot prosper. Isaiah 7:2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. The people of Judah were afraid. How would we feel if a similar experience should befall us now? What would sustain us through it? The Lord again would be the only hope of his people. Verses 3 through 9. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou, and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remalia. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remalia, have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah, and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remalia's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. God was here telling Judah that they should not fear. Page 5. This alliance because he was not sponsoring it. Israel and Syria were dependent on nothing greater than their kings and the capitals of their nations. Judah was instructed to depend on God's word, which declared that these allied powers would fail to overcome them. Moreover, Judah was told, If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. In other words, Judah was told that if they did not believe what God was telling them, they would lose out. Their survival, therefore, was wholly conditional on their complete belief in only God's promise that the alliance formed against them would fail. The day is coming when you and I too must depend entirely on God's word. But unless we know what God's word is, it is impossible for us to believe him. Isaiah 8:9 Associate yourselves, zero ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. God is here challenging a move toward a federation of nations. With World War I, we began to hear serious proposals for the associating of nations into a single league. Today the proposal is revived, and efforts are being made toward forming a strong and workable union of nations. Indeed, not only is the idea of international federation growing more and more prevalent, but in the minds of many great men, there is the positive conviction that the successful continuance of their nation's way of life is utterly dependent upon the closest association and cooperation of all those nations which share. Page 6. Their way of life. The warning given in this chapter to nations and peoples is not to associate and gird themselves or take counsel together, as it would only come to naught. There may be some significance in the repetition of the warning. If so, it would indicate that either two or possibly three attempts would be made among nations to associate and gird themselves, and it would only end in complete failure. If there should yet be another attempt and there is a war against Judah, then Judah, having no adequate means of defense among themselves, will have to let God be their means of deliverance. Isaiah 8:10 Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. God's people take a strong and independent stand because they believe that he is with them. Most human beings are somewhat like Peter. We have great faith until we meet a trial face to face. When the trial here prophesied comes, though, God's people must know that he is with them, and they must firmly stand on his side. Through this verse we are made to understand the real reason for the certain failure of the Notchians in their attempt to obviate the fulfillment of their fears. God is not with them. It becomes distinctly apparent, therefore, that it is the pressing duty of every God-fearing country and individual sincerely to seek God's will and be with Him, if we are to survive and prosper. Verses 11, 12. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk. Page 7. In the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, a confet iraci, to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. God's people are not only commanded not to participate in the confederacy, but they are to oppose it to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. It is upon the root of some fear that the confederacy is formed. But that which constitutes their fear is not to constitute the fear of God's people. Verse 13, Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. God alone is to be revered. God alone is to be feared and dreaded. If there were no possibility for fear at the fulfillment of this chapter, there would be no need for this reassurance and instruction. It is indicative of the fact that God's people will see themselves absolutely helpless, and they will appear helpless to all others. Then they will receive deliverance from God, and all will behold it. If God's people are approaching the time when they must either confederate or sacrifice their lives, they must be developing that faith which will cause them to believe that in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Revelation 9:6. Verse 14, And he shall be for a sanctuary. But for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Page 8. A sanctuary is a place of refuge. Besides being a place of refuge to God's faithful ones, he is also to be a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, Judah and Israel, and a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the ruling city of Judah. From this it is plain to see that through this confederacy God is to be a gin and a snare to antitypical Judah. Isaiah 8:15, And many among them shall stumble, and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. This prophecy declares that the confederacy will be a snare, a trap, and that many will fall and be taken in it. It will be a fearful trap and will separate God's people. Thus is the Lord going to test all His people and let them reveal just how much faith each of them has. In the face of this warning, we must make the necessary preparation so that we will not fall into the snare. God has clearly forewarned His people so that they will not be taken by surprise. In Isaiah 24 we are told that there would be a shaking as of an olive tree and but few men would be left. The confederacy that we are studying this afternoon commences before the loud cry and before the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. It is not the image of the beast, for this association precedes the image of the beast, and the confederacy is formed when the nations are girding themselves for war. Put another way, the confederacy will commence after the sealing and perhaps just before the slaughter of Ezekiel 9. Moreover, it is in the time when the Christian nations are united that the woman, Babylon, will sit on the seven heads, Revelation 17:9, depicting also the union of the churches under Babylon. Page 9. All those who are not expecting the confederacy, but instead are expecting next the reassertion of Roman Church supremacy or the Battle of Armageddon or something else, are going to fall into this snare, for to them it will appear harmless and perhaps even a good thing. But it will be their trap. Verses 16 through 18, Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord, that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Someone will have faith. God does not mean by this that he is keeping his blessings away from Jacob, but it shows that though we cannot see his face, we can witness his power. Verse 19, And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living to the dead? This shows that the world is going spiritualistic. Verse 20, To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. This does not mean that they are devils, but rather that they are in darkness. When they learn the truth, then they shall speak according to the law and the testimony of Jesus. Verses 21, 22, And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass, that when, Page 10, they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. All brackets and parentheses, and all emphases in quotations, belong to the code unless otherwise indicated. Note, the symbolic code, volume 13, numbers 5 through 12, contain Brother Houteff's article on the Sabbath. Since this is bound up in our tract number 18, the Golden Clasp, we are not reprinting these issues of the code. Through the editors.